Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know at the moment why we even came for, Lord, to hear your word. We asking you, Lord, to bless our heart, give us that sensitive heart that we may hear your word and not be just hearers but doers. Forgive the sins of your servants through whom you will speak this morning. Let him be a clean vessel through whom, Lord, you will speak to your people for edification. Bless us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning, it's the stewardship series that we continue. It's accountability in stewardship. After this message, we have four things we should know. So when you leave here this morning, you will know first, accountability in stewardship is personal. You should have no doubt about that. And the second thing we should know, that accountability in stewardship is universal. And the third thing will be, accountability in stewardship is proportional. And the fourth and last thing that we should learn coming from here is that accountability in stewardship is predetermined. And I would like you to pay attention with me as we go in through a story you all know about, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 to 17. You know, David was a man of God, and he had in his heart to build a house for the Lord. I mean, that was his dream. If God would allow him to do that, he would feel like he had a complete life. But God said no, because you have too much blood in your hand. Your son will do it. So David determined, okay, I know I cannot do it, but I'm going to prepare for it. I'm going to make sure everything is set so my son can do it. So we're just taking a glance on that last part of it, of the story. But in 1 Chronicles verses 1 and 2, for example, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made in of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for the things of brass, the iron for things of iron, of wood for things of wood, oxen, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and the divers colors of all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. And if we go down to verse 5, the last part of verse 5, David asks a question to the congregation, and who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Verse 6, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. When we jump down to verse 9, then the people rejoice, for that they offered willingly before, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And David started to pray. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. And verse 11, pay some great attention here. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness. Thine, O Lord, is the power. Thine, O Lord, is the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and you can continue to read for yourself, but the key verses we read, whenever we say steward, we all know what steward. Especially if in this ministry, every year we have series. And we all know the principle number one is that what you are set over is not yours. But yet, we all know it, like David, you know, he explained clearly that everything they gave back to God, it's God's anyway. But even though we know that, though, the way we are attached to things, the way like we claim our stuff, we will fight for our stuff and then get ready to even lose our lives for our stuff. Like, it seems like we forget sometimes, even though we know it, but the way we live doesn't show it. We are too attached, including whether it's your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your house, your car. It's like we just don't remember. They are all God's. To make this, I'm reminded of an illustration. Probably Pastor Thomas, who told that long time ago, about an old lady. She lived in a bad neighborhood, and she was old, and she was determined she would not get robbed and swallow it. So she would always carry her gun wherever she goes. And one good or bad day, and she was coming from shopping, she had all her stuff in her hand and walked to her car. She saw four guys sitting in her car. So she pulled her guns out. She said, "Get out and run, or I will shoot." And those guys get out and run, and she parked her car and get to the car. The key wouldn't fit. The key wouldn't fit. What happened? What do you think happened? That wasn't her car. Her car was parked. So she went to go to her car and load, and she went straight to the police station and tuned herself in. And she found those four guys. Report, you get old lady, you know. But the point in that story, it wasn't hers, but she. That's the way we do in things that are not ours, but they look like ours, and they're close to us, and we feel like that's how we fight for things. That's how we hold on things that is ours. But the truth is it's they are not ours. They are not. I think the attitude we should have is what Job had. We really should. I mean, it's like being in the Navy, for example. We call the Navy our Navy, our country. The ship, we call them our ship. But when we have to get order to get out, we cannot say that's our ship. We're not good. No, it's not. Okay? But yet, we call them ours. But if we understand why we say that, I have my children, I have my house, they are mine, but I have to understand what I mean by that. Okay? It's like saying, okay, they are mine because they are under my charge, they are under my responsibility. Okay? Job 1:20 to 22, if you don't know the story, you need to read it, but I'll just go assuming you know. If you don't know, read the story, Job chapter 1. Job, after he lost everything, including his children, he arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He worshipped after he lost everything. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all these he charged not God, and he sinned not. That's the attitude. You have this attitude, okay? You get your stuff stolen. You get your stuff ruined and destroyed or whatever the case may be, whatever. The first thing, before you find insurance, before you find out what happened, before you sue, you should hold back to say, well, actually, it wasn't mine. When I was born, I didn't bring this with me. And obviously, when I'm leaving, I'm not leaving anything with me. Oh, they may dress me up. No, this is just for show. But actually, the same way I came in the world, it's the same way I'm going out, with nothing. You know, when I was at this point in the message preparing it, I thought about in Haiti, when you have there is different type of business you can do. One of them is like if you have goats and sheep, or you can actually buy stuff and somebody will take care of them for you. But if you give somebody a goat to take care for you, the first kids the goat bring will be for the owner, and the second, it just they alternate. But the wool, if the owner decide to take the goat back, whether it's pregnant or not, and that this was your turn for the baby, you have to give the goat because it's not yours. It's not yours, and whenever it is asked of you, you give it back. That's what happened. God cannot call you back home, take his life that he has given you, to say, no, that's my life. No, it's not. Sometimes we say, well, that's my money. I work hard for it. No, it's not. We say, what do you mean? Because the very breath you have is not yours. The very breath you have to cause you to do everything you do is not yours. And that's the beginning of everything. So if you say, okay, if that's why you're saying it's not mine, then take your breath back. See what you get. You have nothing. And this story is illustrated very well in Daniel chapter 5. You know the story of Nebuchadnezzar and the whole things that happened, and God humbled him very good. And then his son took over. But he did not learn from what his father went through. So he had a party going on. And then he did his best to just not to give God the glory. So they had to call. And then in the middle of the feast, a hand came out, just a hand writing in a wall. So they had to call somebody, which was Daniel to come and help out in that. So this is the story. We're just going to read few verses. Let's start from verse 17. But to get verse 17, it's like, when they called him, he came, and the king offered him all kind of stuff. Verse 17, Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. And then he continued, verse 18, O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom. And pay attention to say, God gave him the kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. That's a lot of power given by God. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingdom, kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. I am reading this just hoping you make your own application, because when I read it, I made my own application. You know what God been giving you. You know the ways God has been dealing with you. But verse 20 is important. His heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride. He was deposed. God can undo anything he has done. He can do it. And he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beast. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High ruled, God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Verse 22, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though you knewest all this, but hath lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessel of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised, I'll say this again, and thou hast praised the gods of silver, the gods of gold, the gods of grass, the gods of iron, the gods of wood, the gods of stone. They see not, they hear not, they know not. And the God is in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thine ways, hast thou not glorified? You knew all that, but you lifted thyself up. And then you worship all the other gods of brass, of paper, of wood, of whatever it is. But the God who has your very breath in his hand, you don't glorify. You know, like I told you before, application is the hardest thing for the preacher. It's easy to read it, but when you start to apply, that's when you have rocks start throwing at you. But when I read this, I was thinking to myself, how many gods I've been glorifying? Gods of gold, God of wood, of stones, whatever it is. We have so many gods. We do. I have my own, you have your own. And we put them before the God that has our very breath in his hand. We put everything before him. And obviously, if you continue to read, the message the hand was bringing is that the kingdom will be taken away. He was deposed. Every scripture that is written for what? For our edification, for our good. So this is not written just to be written. It is written for you and for me. Find out what kind of God you're glorifying, comparing to the God that has the very breath of our lives in his hands. Now the main scripture this morning is come from Luke chapter 12, verses 40 to 48. It's a story you all know about a faithful steward. And verse 41, I like, after Jesus spoke about his coming and how servant should be faithful. And Peter asks the question, Lord, are you speaking this parable unto us or even to all? Obviously, Jesus did not directly answer him, but I think it was amazing when I read this, because when you and I reading this, we may say, well, is it to us or to those, to other ones? I just want to reaffirm to you, it's to you and to me this morning. Forget about everybody else. It's about you. It's about me this morning. And as you continue to read verse 47, and that servant, the faithful or the unfaithful, which knew his Lord's will. The servant who knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. If you and I, we know, I mean, like I said before, we know the truth. We know everything that need to be known. If we don't do according to his will, we shall be beaten with many stripes. Well, let's say you stay in ignorance. You say, well, I'm visiting. I never heard this thing before. Well, Jesus had an answer for you. If you did not know, but you still do things that are worthy of stripes, you still shall be beaten. It's just you'll be few. But we don't know how many is few. So I don't think you even want to have few. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I want you to emphasize your attention on required. It will be a requirement. Okay? Now, first, we're going to see the accountability is personal. And we see clearly Paul talked about that in two letters, at least. Romans 14, 11, and 12. He says, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. No one will stand for you to talk for you. It will be you talking for yourself. It's personal. Or whatever excuse you have, don't send your lawyer. There will not be a lawyer to be sent. You'll have to talk for yourself. Okay? And God, being a just God, he has a system to judge us that no one can feel like they were being treated unfairly. So it'll be clear in front of everyone. And this is how he said in 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15. This is how it's going to happen. Because you know, I do things you don't know about. You do things I don't know about. We are pure holy in church. We all in church looks like saints, right? But God knows everything. And everything is written down. So this is how, good or bad, good or bad. He says, this is Paul speaking, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now he's talking about saved people. You are saved by grace in Christ. No doubt about that. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord or Savior. Now he's talking about the gift that is given to you, every opportunity, everything that's given to you, how you've used them. Okay? Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so as by fire. You know the way the houses are built? It takes no time to see a community, to see just, you saw the bushes 1 month, and the next month you have homes. Of course, they spend a little longer on the foundation, because the foundation, that's where what we build the house, that's where we hold the house. But when there is a fire, what happened? Everything is gone except the foundation. Now, not every houses are built like with wood and shingles, and you have some houses with bricks, right? What happened if you build your house like the houses in Haiti, almost like bricks and concrete, and let's say you put fire in a community with all bricks, what do you get after fire? What if you build with gold and silver and... So, is it wrong to build with wood? No, you have a home. But with what God has given us, after salvation, it's up to you. Some are lazier than another. Or some, whatever gifts, whatever opportunity you have, you just don't use it. You will give account for yourself, and it will happen. God will just put fire and say, hey, let's see what your work was. If it was wood, the whole house is gone. If it was with bricks, okay, the doors, all the furniture inside probably will be gone, but the concrete will stay. So there is no unfairness there. You reap what you sow. If you did everything you did is for show off, if you did everything you did just for your own glory, it's going to be seen at the end. But if you did things from the secret of your heart and you did your best, it will be shown as well. And second thing, accountability is universal. Nobody's going to get out of it. Nobody. You cannot hide. You cannot call sick. Everyone. Nobody's going to not show up. Nobody. Sometimes you go to represent the church somewhere. Let's say if there is a funeral, for example, we send the pastor will go. So as long as the pastor get there, say there everybody saw the pastor. Okay, you can leave. At least you can say I was there for the church. That's not the way it's going to be. You cannot just show up, say, "Hey, I'm present," and then leave. You're going to be there to give account. You have to talk. Revelation 20, 11, 15. That's the judgment, great white throne. Of course, we have the throne, the judgment of Christ. We're not going into this. But he said, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, rich or poor, or power or no power, everybody stand before God. And the books were open, and every another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books." It's universal. Everyone, small or great. Verse 13. Whether you died at sea, whether they found your body or not. Talent, you're going to be judged according to that one talent. He's not going to compare you. Actually, he said, what I like, I think it's in Romans, 1 Corinthians 3. He talks about what is required of a steward is that he be faithful. Faithful. That's all he's required. He doesn't even require that you be productive and successful. He just wants you to be faithful. Hold on. That's all he asks us. If this is not easy enough, I don't know what is. But the question this morning, how much has been given to you? Because you will be held accountable. But how much has been given to you? You may say, well, the minute he's talking about how much is how much money. And you think, well, I don't have much. Oh, yes, you have a lot. Because it's not about just money. It's about everything. What about opportunities? What about opportunities? They will say, well, what kind of opportunity are you talking about? I don't know if you know, the whole world knows that the United States of America is the land of opportunity. You hear what I mean? If you don't know it, I'm just telling you. Because whether you know it or not, you're going to be judged because you are in America, and America is known as the land of opportunities. So you are going to be asked about what did you do with all these opportunities. There isn't anything you need help here. You don't get it. You get it. If you don't know, I don't know if you, I didn't really hear the whole State of the Union speech, but that part of it when the president said the American cannot live with minimum wage, and he said that one thing, he said, if you don't believe me, try it. If you don't believe that America is a land of opportunity, go somewhere else and try it. And you will see how much you have if you are not going to be held accountable for. What about the privileges we have? Let's say America, for example. The fathers, the one who fought, the one who left us what we have now, they did not have what we have now. Think about transportation. Think about communication. Think about everything. If they did what they did with what they had, think about how much would they do with what we have now. Privileges. So you think God is going to judge them the same way he's going to judge us? Let's go back to spiritual. You are in church, Christian Fellowship Church. Let's go back to see how it's all started. What the founders, those who started this to get us here. So you think they will be judged the same way you and I will be judged? What they had to deal with to give us the privilege to start with something already built? When they had to start it from scratch, what we, I mean, I went to Haiti to fix some issues and the problems. And one thing I saw is that I don't see there is a pastor, because I feel everybody is so occupied, preoccupied with their lives. I don't see there is one person dedicated. There are many people. But there isn't that one pastor to say, okay, we have a pastor. Why? Because we cannot pay the pastor. So, talking about solution, they told me the best solution is for me to come back to lead the ministry, because the reason? Because they are young and they have families, they have wives, they have this, they have that. I said, wow. So when I was in my 20s, I didn't have wives, I didn't have kids, I didn't have a life. And I gave it all to raise you to that level. Now you have a ministry established. You see what I mean? You have a ministry established. You don't start from scratch. I told them, be careful. You will be judged harshly. So you and I, with the level this ministry is right now, be careful how you build upon that foundation. Be careful. I thought about myself and my family preparing this, and I reflected on how I raised my children and how I told them about education, opportunity, privileges, And one thing I believe in, I say, I wish I had the privileges they have now. When I was growing up, I didn't have mom and dad or able to pay to take me to school, to send me to school. Just that area alone, and I say, hey, I give this to you. I'll do whatever it takes to have you go. So I am not going to take anything less to start with but the bachelor minimum. See what I mean? If I started with a high school diploma, you need to start with at least a bachelor. It's the same thing for us as a ministry. If you go back where how the founders started, it must be required more of you, of us now. It has to. Another thing is salvation. Oh, God saved us. And in case we have any doubt in that, are we saved by our works? The Bible says, by grace are we saved. Not by works. For because of what? Lest any man should boast. So God saved us. Okay? So you think God is just going to look at you and you live your life anyhow you want and he saved you? No. When you look at somebody else who is not saved, you see how they live, they can care less about God. You should remember it's a work of God, not of man. If it were for you and I, we would save everybody in the world. But when you see unsaved person and you know there are many of them around the world, what do you do? Do you just say, oh, thank God I'm not like so and so? Or do you say to yourself, Lord, what can I do? What can I do? Because you will be held accountable. Time and money. Some of us have a little more time, a little more money. God is going to ask you this question. And thank you, Pastor Payne. The last message you preached, and the minute it started, it hit me when it's come to the talents that we have. And then I get into myself. I say, Lord, I know the talent, but I don't feel like I worked hard enough on it. It stayed with me all week. I say, Lord, okay, what can I do? But you know, there are so many distractions, so many things. I don't feel productive. You know your limits. You know the abilities God has given you, how much you can do. And I feel way under it. And I remember what Paul said about distractions when he advised about if you married, don't get out of it. But if you don't, because he's not saying that to trick us, but it's saying that because there is distraction. Okay? And then I felt like the area of strength for me is studying the Word of God and teaching the Word of God. I don't do it enough. And then I thought about the illustration I heard. And just to show you how hard it is the illustration is about pregnancy. You know how women get pregnant? After they get married, they want to get pregnant right away. They're excited. They want kids. But the suffering, you wonder, why do they want to get pregnant? They don't think about the pain, but they see the child, right? They deliver the child to today, and 9 months after pregnancy, and probably around 2 years after that, they bring another one. 9 more years, 9 more months, and 2 more years. Usually it's 2 years. Some have them every year. But As a preacher, just to tell you how serious I feel, how low I am, before I deliver a message, it's like I feel I'm pregnant. I am carrying the pain because this message is in your mind all week, and then that's what you sleep with and get up with and walk with. And the time come to the deliver, trust me, delivering the message is not the easiest thing. That's why after you finish, you feel drained. But as a preacher, you get pregnant again to deliver again next Sunday. If you have a Wednesday, you get pregnant from Sunday to Wednesday to deliver again. That's how hard it is. So if you don't get help from the church to do that, it's a hard job. Time and money. Now, delivering the messages. So you think God is just going to look at you and say nothing about the messages you've been hearing? You think God will not hold you responsible? God is going to ask you about how you applied what you hear. He's going to ask you that. I can tell you one thing, though. If I would have to go to hell, I would want to be from a far little corner in the world where the word of God has never preached. So this way, at least I can say, oh, really, Jesus? What about him? I wouldn't want to be lost in America because we all hear about Jesus one way or in another. And you know what is worse? I wouldn't want to be lost or to have to give God account and coming from Christian fellowship. We know the word of God here. We know the word of God here. And that's what makes it hard to preach the word of God here. Because you're preaching to people who know the word of God. And they are to ask you questions about what you said. So that's mean require more study, more wisdom, and more effort to come and preach here. You cannot just be unprepared and come preach here. I'm telling you. So God will ask you about how you apply what the messages you've been hearing here. And you have some of us have more common sense than another. Some of us have more wisdom, and some are more eloquent and discernment. In other words, if you are strong in an area, your job is to support the weak. You will be asked questions about that. And then last to finish, accountability is predetermined. It's already set. Every one of us shall give account. There isn't no doubt about it. They say, well, maybe that God's agenda may be too long for that judgment day, and they may. No, it's already predetermined. It will happen. It will take place whether you are prepared or not, whether you want it or not. You will give account. May God bless you and allow you to be this faithful servant that he will say, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. God bless you.